ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This is our 28th prophecy update. I started when I was 10. And what are you laughing at? No, and really, as I was praying about it, I mean, there's so much stuff out there right now. I mean, you know, 30 years ago, there wasn't as much. Now there is an abundance of Bible prophecy. And I really felt the Lord leading me to doing a study on Don't Be Deceived. I've called it the Carbonaro Effect, and you'll kind of see why in a minute. But it's amazing how fast time is going by. I know time is a constant, but as I get older, it seems to like, I can't believe this year is over. I mean, I'm still back in the year 2000. I mean, I can't believe we're going to be 23 years into the year, into this time period. It's crazy how fast it goes. And again, when you look at Bible prophecy, where are we? And it's kind of important to know. And it's kind of interesting because the last two, maybe 3 years, probably around 2 years or so, when you look at all that's taken place, it's kind of discouraged people. They've lost hope. Even Christians, you know, you talk with some Christians and, wow, they're depressed. They're discouraged. And some just want to get out of here. Well, yeah, I want to go home to be with the Lord too. I can't wait for him to come back. But we have to remember there's a mission for us, right? We know where we're going, but there is a world of people out there that know nothing about Jesus and that they need him as their Savior. And when you look at social media and how it's growing and how quickly it's growing, it's scary because this is where most people get their information from. And there's a portion that's wrong with the information and there's a portion that's true. But there is so much information, how do you know what's true and not, or not? You see, it's hard to keep up with this stuff. And I'll show you how dangerous it can be. Now, if I offend you with this, I'm sorry, but hear me out. We're going to talk a little bit about this because there's a big deception out there with this. I know that some of you have watched The Chosen. I think it started out okay, but like the devil loves to do is he gets you hooked on something and then he leads you down a very dangerous path. And we'll see that a little bit tonight. One of the problems with season three is they have Jesus answering a question by quoting from the Book of Mormon. Jesus would not quote from the Book of Mormon. First of all, the Book of Mormon wasn't even around then, but again, that doesn't matter. But he said, I am the law of Moses. And it's coming from 3 Nephi 15:9 in the Book of Mormon. And this is what this verse says. Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end, I will give eternal life. Think of all the I am statements in the Bible. Does Jesus ever say, I am the law? He doesn't, does he? Isn't that interesting? He does say that the law and the prophets speak of him. Yes, that's scriptural. Jesus was fulfilled. He obeyed the law perfectly. He faced the wrath that was due us and promised in the law for us, but he never claimed that he was the law. So how does the creator of The Chosen answer the concerns about this statement of Jesus? And this is what he has to say. Number one, it's not a direct quote, Jenkins said. It wasn't referring to the law of Moses in that quote. And I have never read the Book of Mormon. To be honest with you, I've never read, I've read some of it. Now, he said I've never read it, but then I've read some of it. People will share with me. I read it when someone told me, hey, that's from the Book of Mormon. I was like, okay. And I went and I looked it up. Now, he continues to say, and this is what's kind of troubling to me, it's a cool line. So either way, it's in the show because I believe it's a really great line, and I believe that it's also theologically plausible. The point is, God is over these things. Jesus is over these things. He is these things. He owns these things. They came from him. Jesus makes many I am statements and is called the great I am. So no, I didn't pull this quote from anywhere else. It's a theological, plausible line, and I believe a cool Jesus as King moment, and that's it. Did you notice it's not theologically scriptural? He didn't say that. It's theologically plausible. Well, I can make all kinds of plausible statements about Jesus, but it doesn't make them right. And there's the problem. Here's the thing. The word plausible, this is what it's defined as. Seemingly likely to be true or able to be believed, a plausible explanation, excuse, disapproving, a plausible person appears to be honest and telling the truth even though they are not. Wow, that's very interesting. Now, let me ask you this question. What if that's the way I approach Scripture? You know, giving you theologically plausible statements of Jesus, would you put up with that for a minute? I hope not. I hope you would call me on the carpet on that one. Because either he said it because it's in the Word of God or he didn't say it. And this is dangerous. Because if you're putting now out there theologically plausible statements, where does it end? And we'll see in the second study, it's not a good place. And that's the danger here. I'm not saying this show started out bad. I never have seen it. But I'm saying it's moved in that direction and big time. And don't be deceived. There are over 400 million viewers of this show worldwide. That's a lot of people. And if they can be careless with that, theologically plausible, what else are they going to be careless about? And there's the danger, and we'll see that again this evening. We have to understand that deception is part of the last day scenario. And we see deception growing and growing, and it's hard to know what to believe and what not to believe. You know, remember in Genesis 3:1, as Eve is in the Garden of Eden, she's alone. Adam, I don't believe, is with her at this point. And what does Satan say to Eve? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He wants Eve to doubt God's word. And he goes on to say, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So not only did Satan get Eve to doubt God's word, but then God's judgment, and finally, God's supreme rule. What do I mean by that? He was telling Eve that if she eats of the fruit of this tree, she's going to be like God. And ever since that time in the garden when sin entered this world, Satan really hasn't changed his tactics. Because man falls prey to it. Has God indeed said? Doubting God's word, doubting God's judgment, and not obeying God, they make themselves as God. Again, deception in the last days. And I realize most of us, if not all of us, would say, hey, not me, man. I would never be deceived. Never. Well, you know, I've called this study the Carbonaro effect, and you'll see why here in a minute. But the whole idea is do not be deceived. And we're going to show this video, and just watch what's going on in this video. Watch very closely, and I'll talk about it after we're done.
These? Yeah. Oh, that's cute. All right, a card magnet. Oh, I love this book, though. I had that book when I was a kid. It's a good one. There's like pop-up books.
I love little kid books.
Yeah.
Oh, these are fun.
Yeah. Little zoo animals. This is a new edition, though, right?
I don't know. I've never seen this
book. You haven't seen this book?
No.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. It's got... I think mine used to be a little bit thicker. They're making them really thin now. It's amazing how they can, like, come up with, like, ways to, like, make stuff just, like, pop up like that. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, the one was, it was a zoo prize, because it was a surprise, and they still... Oh, that's better.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? That is so crazy. The last page was like this little like box, yeah. And then that's awesome. Because I wasn't allowed to have pets as a kid. So
here's a bunch of books with different animals in it. It's like pets.
What do they do with this one now? Oh, this is great. Yeah, mine was this. Oh, it's good. Yeah, mine was a salamander.
How did they do that?
I don't know. It's like
a real fish?
Yeah.
And how did the book I'm so confused how that just happened.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mine used to be, it was like a little lizard or a salamander, but I don't think you're allowed to give those to kids anymore. But
that book
yeah, that's great. It just pops up. Hold on a second.
You just pull that out of there, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that just happened, but this is hard, and that is flat, and that wasn't.
Yeah.
That's a live fish.
Yeah.
He got her to believe the impossible, right? How easy it is for us to be deceived. He's really a nice guy, right? He seems so friendly. Why would he lie to her? Why would he deceive her? Because he's a magician. And this is what he does. He's very good at what he does. But when you put it into spiritual things, there are a lot of good people or people who are very good at deceiving us. And we have to be careful. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is. Remember the Mad Hatter? Alice said, this is impossible. Only if you believe it. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of false teachers out there today, deceivers, getting people to believe all kinds of unbiblical and crazy things. Now, you may be thinking, oh, you know, there's Pastor Joe going off again and, you know, on these wild tangents. I'll just show you. This is from sold on Amazon. You know what that is? It's a Christian Ouija board. And you know who that person is up there? It's not some hippie. That's Jesus, of course, holding the Christian Ouija board. And this is from November 11, 2022. And this is what the article says about this new way to speak to Jesus. This, Jesus speaks to us through the Ouija board, and we speak to him, I guess. There's a video promoting a Christian version of a popular occult board game called the Holy Spirit Board. Oh, they made it Christian now. Has begun circulating online, pointing viewers to an actual product available for purchase on Amazon. In the video, a man dressed as Jesus uses explicit language and sexual innuendo to introduce a spirit board described as designed to talk to the Holy Spirit directly. You know, this Holy Spirit board, you know how they have those little wooden things that you are supposed to move around? Well, that's what this has. It's usually heart-shaped, and this one has a golden magic cross that moves around the board. This is for Christians. The board letters display artwork of the crucifixion, angels, a dove. The whole idea is you can hear messages from God by using this. Really? I thought that was the Bible. I think the Bible is supposed to speak to us, right? Well, here's what one person said. If you call yourself a Christian, listen up. A Holy Spirit game spokesman said, I've been a Christian my whole life, and talking to Jesus is really nothing new to me. My faith is what guides me to do the right thing and be a better person. But the problem is the Lord's messages weren't always clear. That's a shame that the Holy Spirit couldn't give us a clear message through the Bible to speak to us, but we need a Ouija board, an occult thing, for the Holy Spirit to speak to us? Give me a break. Describing his first interaction with the Holy Spirit board, the man said that he immediately felt Jesus inside of him when he touched that golden cross. Jesus' messages are super clear every day, and I can understand it in plain English, he said, thanking the Holy Spirit for reigniting his faith. The product's Amazon description says, get the answers you need. The Holy Spirit board can answer all of life's most important questions straight from the man himself. And it's marketing churches, prayer groups, or just getting together with friends. And here's the thing. I like this. Unlike other spirit boards, this one will never contact evil ghosts or demons. Well, praise the Lord for that one, right? So you can ask your questions with an assured sense of safety. The description goes on to say, do you see how evil this is? You know, there was one church in California using Christian tarot cards to tell people's fortunes and futures. Are you kidding me? Just because you put the name Christian in front of it doesn't make it Christian. We got to wise up. What is our source of truth? How do we hear from God? Right? Why were we allowing these things in? Because we don't know the truths of God found in the Word of God. You know, contemplative prayer was very popular a few years back. You don't hear a whole lot about it. But leaders warned people that if you get into this contemplative prayer, you might come in contact with bad spirits, so you need to be careful. Well, here, don't worry about it. There's no bad spirits, no demons will come in contact with you. You're good here. Are you kidding me? Holy Spirit's not going to speak to us through a Ouija board. Demons will. And look at the number of Christians that take this into their lives. You know, in Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31, where the Lord said, "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?" And that's an interesting question. What are you going to do in the end? How is this stuff going to help you, this occult stuff that's not from God? You see, once you start moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, you keep moving farther and farther and farther away, and deception will suck you in, and it's amazing what you end up believing. Now, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24:4. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Deception is part of the last days. Yes, we're not in the tribulation period. I don't believe the church is in the tribulation period. But there are the false labor pains. And I believe that's what we're seeing with this deception now. Deception will continue to grow into the tribulation period, but there is so much deception today, and we need to be aware of it so we're prepared. And our study this evening is going to be a little bit different in that I want you to understand, what do we need to do in the days we're living in? There's so much information. I can spend a week telling you about all the stuff that's out there. And after that week, I'd have to continue on because there's new stuff coming out. How do we live in these days? And to understand that, we need to look at Nehemiah, because what he was going through is similar to the things that are happening today. And we'll look at Bible prophecy, and then we'll see, okay, Nehemiah had these problems. How did he deal with it? And I think that's important. We need to know how to handle these things. So we're going to begin looking at anti-Christian, the mocking of us, what we believe. It's cool today to mock Christianity. I want to share what we're told in Nehemiah 2:19. Nehemiah came to Jerusalem. He's encouraging the people to rebuild the walls. They've been there for years. The walls were broken down by the Babylonians, and they haven't rebuilt yet. And he's come to help them, assist them. And what we're told in Jeremiah 2:19 is this: "But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?'" In Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 3, we see, "But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" So word is spreading very quickly about this plan to rebuild the wall. The enemy hears of it, and they begin to laugh and mock and ridicule the work. Spiritual opposition to the work of God is always going to be there. They tried to discourage them with mocking by telling them whatever they built won't stand. And we see it today. Look at all this murdering, killing of Christians. And there are over 360 million Christians who live in places where they experience high levels of persecution for just following Jesus. 1 in 7 believers worldwide suffer high persecution. And the mocking, the attacks will continue, I believe, as we draw closer to the Lord's return. Now, that's what's going on here in Nehemiah. The enemy saw that their time was short, and they tried to stop the work from being completed. And we see that going on today. The attack against the church. I'm going to be going again to another meeting up in Green Bay that's dealing with safety for churches. You wouldn't think you need it, but you do. How do you protect churches from people coming in and doing outrageous things in the church? And you should have a plan. And I want to show you, first of all, how this world is coming against the church. Because the first article is about a new Canadian law that will describe parts of the Bible as myth and punishing those who come against the homosexual lifestyle. And this is what we're told. With the passage of Bill C-4, the conversion therapy ban, so you can't help people get out of that homosexual lifestyle, there is a great deal of concern among Canadian churches. Has the Trudeau government put a law in the books that effectively criminalizes Christianity? According to some prominent clergy in this country, the answer is shockingly yes. In a letter published by Liberty Coalition Canada, a group of evangelical pastors, they commented this: "This bill's wording is sufficiently broad to allow for the criminal prosecution of Christians who would speak biblical truth into the lives of those in bondage to sexual sins, like homosexuality and transgenderism. Even a mother or father who offers their children freedom from sexual sin through repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ could be threatened with 5 years in jail." According to Bill C-4, which goes into force on January 8th, the Bible's teaching on sexuality and gender is defined as a myth under Canadian law. They made it a myth under Canadian law. Really? I don't think God's going to approve of that. Sorry. "The promotion and sharing of this biblical teaching will be jailable offense that officially causes harm to society." So now we're causing harm to society by trying to set them free from the bondage of sin that they're in. This is going on in Canada. It can happen here in America as well. Kamenaker warned that after the legalization of gay marriage here in America, an effort to push for severe anti-discrimination laws will follow. He said these moves are meant to punish Christians who oppose their beliefs, Christian Today reports. Maggie Gallagher of the American Principles Project chimed in and said these groups allegedly target Christians legally and seek to humiliate them. A person who disagrees with them is immediately labeled a bigot, hater, or a racist, she added. Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what we see happening. And my son posted something on Facebook about how our government freed this basketball player who brought drugs into Russia, freed her, and a soldier was left there who's been there a lot longer, and he did nothing wrong. And you know what? He was called a racist on Facebook. Go figure. You see the name calling? They don't have anything else to stand on, so they call you names. So what they want you to do is to say, oh, no, I'm not. You're right. I agree with you. You see, you end up compromising, and we see that over and over again. Most of the efforts to target Christians are being carried out by supporters of abortion and gay rights groups. For them, Christianity is denying the things that they want to enjoy. It's interesting. Muslims, Hindus, and Jews are not being targeted like this. Not that Jews aren't being targeted at all, but it's mostly the religious freedom of Christians being attacked. Again, this is all to get Christians to let go of what they believe in regard to morality. They're being mocked, made fun of, called all kinds of names, even attacked. These are headlines. And you tell me if there's not an attack on our Christian faith. These are headlines. Elderly woman shot while campaigning against pro-abortion proposal. Christian family ordered to believe boys and girls can be girls and vice versa. Christian teacher fired after raising concern over LGBT book read to young kids. Are you kidding me? Why is that happening? Walmart, we're not comfortable selling to pro-life ministry. The military is ignoring the law regarding religious exemptions. Culture war erupts in Texas town over drag bingo event hosted by Christian church. You know, you just go, come on. Crime against pro-life centers will become routine without prosecution. A federal judge ruled public prayer is unconstitutional. H.R. 8404 effectively deputizes activist groups to sue religious individuals. Christian schools attacked for posting standards of conduct. Biden's disinformation governance board targets pro-life centers. The left wants the IRS to investigate the tax-exempt status of religious organizations. I don't really care. I don't really care. It's God's money. Take it away. Do whatever you want. Fired for his faith, an Austin Fire Department chaplain fights back. If you're a Christian, America's ruling elite see you as the enemy. Yeah. To come against the Christian faith, they'll do whatever it takes. In fact, they feel that Christians are coming against democracy. They tell us this was never a Christian nation, never. Maybe you're not aware of this. You probably are. This was not a democratic nation.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.